And the halfling? Topper inspected Erlix curiously. What's he doing here?
I helped this hot piece of ass make her way back here to all of you. I'm a hero, Erlix said.
Topper raised an eyebrow at that, and I snorted.
He's a troll who stole my gold the other day, I said. But he did help me get here.
Goldie, how could you?
Shush, and let me talk to my guildies.
I was just glad he wasn't talking about his halfling cock in front of my friends.
This is still too weird for me, dude, Hexor muttered, putting his face in his hands. When we get you out of there, no one gets to use my girlfriend's avatar but Jazzus, okay? Jesus.
It's my fault.
Jazzus released me from the embrace and stepped back, crossing her arms and looking at the floor.
I asked him to log in as Lacey to get us out of a jam, and when Vierdemann's spell went off, well, I was hoping he logged out in time, but I guess not.
Fucking great, Topper added. A level 5 courtesan. Perfect. We could really use your barbarian route now, Crom. Things are rough with Vierdemann's crew, and we're debating a full-on assault. I blushed.
I didn't choose to be stuck in this avatar, guys. I only did it to help the guild in the first place, and that's why I'm here now.
What, are you going to go play grab-ass with Vierdemann's lieutenants? Haxor asked. Show them a good time? Suck a little secret order cock?
Lay off it, Jazzus added. It's not his fault. Her fault.
His?
Sorry, Crom. It's going to be confusing keeping your gender straight right now.
Her fault, Topper said decisively. If she's playing a level 5 courtesan named Lacey, then that's how we treat her. Trying to protect feelings will just get us killed on the battlefield. Everyone nodded at the guild leader's decision. I folded my arms, annoyed, but I knew he was right.
You're going to let her join us on the battlefield? Hexar protested.
Come on, Topper. No offense, Lacey, but bringing her is just going to be a liability. Vildeman's guild already has an average level of 45. If they don't nuke her outright with an offhand spell, she'll get in the way of her own magic. She can't fight, she's playing the worst class, and she's not high enough level to use her skills on them, even if we could think of a way to use her. Plus, it's an extra player to buff and heal.
My cheeks burned hotter.
I don't need heals or buffs, guys. Let me die if they target me. It's fine. I still want to come and try to help. I'm stuck in the game like all of you are.
Can't we even use her as bait? One of my other guildies asked.
Our plan doesn't involve bait, Hexor countered. It's a direct frontal assault. Hit him hard and fast. You said it yourself, Topper. Plus, Vierdemann would never take that bait. He'd either ignore her for being too low level, or just kill her from 100 yards away if he thought she was a threat.
Jazzus?
I pleaded.
I came so far to help you all. I'm stuck in this avatar because I wanted to help. And you're going to make me sit on the sidelines for the most important battle we've ever had?
Jazzus frowned and shrugged helplessly.
I don't know what to say.
I do.
Topper's eyes were hard as he leaned forward, both hands on the table. Sorry, Lacey. Hexor is right. You would be a liability. And in the heat of battle, we can't have our healers worrying about which players they're buffing and healing. If you come, you're a risk to all of us. What if Tigraine blows all of her mana trying to keep you topped off before she sees who she's healing? What if Sensei wastes his only combat res on you by mistake? What if one of Vierdemann's wizards targets you with a nasty AoE debuff spell you can't resist? We can't take the chance.
So then what do I do?
I practically wailed.
I feel like you guys are kicking me out of the guild.
Topper walked around the table and rested his mailed hand on my shoulder. His golden paladin's cape rustled behind him as his eyes softened ever so slightly.
No one's kicking you out of the guild, Crom. You're a part of this team just like you always been, even if you're Lacey right now. But this is purely strategic decision. If you had a decent level, we'd bring you. But as it is, let us handle this, okay? We'll capture Vierdemann, make him undo his code or spell or whatever, and have you out of that avatar before you know it.
But,
I protested, but then a look from Topper shut me down.
Final decision.
His tone made it clear this wasn't up for debate.
You can stay here if you want, but you need to stay out of the way. We'll make preparations and head out at the end of the week.
I slumped down, totally defeated. Hexor crossed his arms with a satisfied look on his face, and Jazzus refused to meet my eyes. Erlix, for once, was silent.
That was it, then. They weren't going to let me help them. I was out.
Chapter 10. I slumped on a bed in the shiny army barracks, moping drearily by myself, while my guildies prepared for battle without me. I was so mad at Hexor and Topper that I wanted to scream, mostly at Hexor. But now that Topper had made his decision, I knew there was no going back. Our guild leader was a good leader, but he was surprisingly hard-headed sometimes, and he never went back on his word. It's probably why he plays paladin. It's a good fit for his personality. The shuffle of a step drew my attention to the doorway. Jazzus hovered uncertainly just outside of the barracks.
Can I come in?
I nodded sullenly, drawing my knees up against my body and wrapping my arms around them. Jazzus came over to sit beside me on the bed, leaning back against the headboard and propping a pillow behind her back. She was in her sexy low-cut battle robe with thigh-high leather boots, just like mine, but in blue, and a silver circlet rested on her head. Do they make any armor for women in this game that isn't sexy? I wondered. Normally, I loved hanging out with Jazzus. I always thought she was so cool and pretty. But right now, I was pissed off at everyone. I remained silent, waiting for her to speak first. I didn't have anything to say.
Are you okay?
She finally asked. She put her hands in her lap and idly twitched her thumbs without looking at me.
No, Jazzus, I'm not okay. First, you get me stuck in the body of this stupid girl avatar with the whole set of realistically modeled girl sensations emotions, by the way. Thanks for that. Then I get captured by the Orc King, stuffed into a gold bikini, dragged off to serve in his harem, for Christ's sakes. I managed to get myself out of that situation thanks to, my own ingenuity. Still, I'm so weak that I ended up needing to be escorted by a stupid troll of a halfling who can't shut up about his giant halfling penis all the way across the land to our guild hall. Then, despite my heroic efforts to make my way back and help you all, Topper humiliates me in front of the whole guild by kicking me out of the most important mission we've ever had and treating me like some kind of...
Girl? Jazzus offered.
Yeah, like some kind of stupid, helpless girl.
I was breathing hard after my tirade, fighting my body's stupid female emotions and trying not to cry. It was surprisingly hard to hold back the tears. No wonder girls were always crying. Jazzus stared at me, wide-eyed.
Does Erlix really have a giant penis?
I don't know,
I exploded.
Is that really the most important thing to ask right now, Jazzus?
Sorry, I was just curious. Me too. It's been eating me up all day since he never shuts up about it. But I'll be damned if I ask to see it.
Understandable.
She glanced around the barracks.
Where is a pint-sized klepto anyway?
I shrugged.
He asked if he could take a look around, and I said sure. He's never been in a guild hall before. He's probably trying to figure out a way to steal our things.
Jazzus snorted.
Fat chance. The guild code prevents that. Yep.
She sat silently for a minute, and then continued.
Hey, Crom. May as well call me Lacey, Jazz. Topper is right. It's not doing me any favors to pretend I'm a hulking barbarian when I'm so obviously not anymore.
I lifted up my scrawny arms and stuck out my impressive rack. Jazz's eyes lingered on it for a moment before she returned to staring at her hands.
Lacey, then. Look, I'm really sorry. I never intended for this to happen. It should have been a quick in-and-out operation. If I had known there was any chance you'd get stuck in that body, I wouldn't have asked you to hop in. I would have hated to be trapped in the body of a dude.
I think.
I know,
I mumbled, starting to sniffle.
I felt so useless. The emotions were surging up again, and I struggled to hold them back.
It's not your fault. Or, it kind of is, but you couldn't have known what was going to happen. I just hate that I can't be a part of the team. Being this courtesan class wouldn't be so bad. Even being a girl would be okay. The sex is mind-blowing, by the way. I can't believe you've never mentioned it. But what really gets me is feeling like an outsider. I spend most of my life feeling like that. You guys, the guild, you're my friends. You're all I have.
I started to cry, unable to hold back the tears any longer, and I felt even more embarrassed. Kromgorn the Mighty, reduced to a blubbering little girl, ignored and discarded by his friends. At least it was only Jazzis with me right now. She'll be cool, but I'd be so ashamed if Topper or Haxor saw me like this. And Erlix would have a fucking field day.
Shh,
Jazzis said. She put her arm around my shoulders and started to gently stroke my hair. Instinctively, I rested my head on her shoulder. She smelled nice, just like when she'd hugged me earlier.
Don't cry. Hey, Lacey, it's okay.
I nuzzled against her neck, sniffling and leaking tears, and she held me closer, continuing to stroke me with long, soothing motions. She gently rocked me from side to side until the crying subsided a little.
I'm sorry,
I whispered.
This is so embarrassing. No way,
Jazzis replied.
It's just part of being a girl, Lacey. Sometimes a good cry is the best thing you can do for yourself. It's not good to hold in your emotions. Yeah, I'm starting to see the rules are really different for women. Topper didn't even ask my opinion. He just told me what I was supposed to do.
Jazzis laughed.
Welcome to womanhood. I didn't think they'd treat me like a girl so quickly. Well, you're awfully feminine, Lacey. Everything about that body screams sex. It's pretty much the ideal feminine body. None of us knows what the other looks like in real life, so the avatar you pick is the real you, as far as the game is concerned. It doesn't matter much who's piloting the body. That's why you said there's nothing gay about seducing guys while I'm Lacey, right?
She nodded.
Exactly. Until we get out of here, you are Lacey, with everything that comes with that.
Then she arched an eyebrow at me.
Say, how do you know sex is mind-blowing as a girl, anyway? Are you sure you haven't seen that giant halfling cock?
I could feel my cheeks turning red again.
As if. I wouldn't touch that little dude with a 10-foot pole. I had some downtime. Decided to take the new body for a spin with a handy mob. You know, just to get the feel of things. It's kind of embarrassing. No, not at all. It's your body. At least for now. You should figure out how it works. Good for you. I wish I had that kind of courage.
I glanced up at her.
Wait, you're not saying... Jazzis, have you never had sex in game?
Now it was her turn to blush. She turned so red, she almost looked like a fire nymph.
Okay, look, you can't tell anyone this, okay? I'm only telling you because you're a girl now, and because I feel guilty that you got stuck in that hot body when you didn't want to be. But I've never had sex, in-game or out-of-game.
I stared at her, dumbfounded.
What? Not ever?
She shook her head, still blushing.
Why not? Jeez, Jazzis, I'm just borrowing this body, but let me tell you, you are missing out in a big way. I haven't found the right person where I wanted to do that yet. What? That's crazy. Have sex with a mob. Oh, man, we are going to fix this today. You want me to charm you a hunky dude? There's this hot jailer I had charmed earlier. He probably respawned by now. And I bet he and his friend would show us a good time, even if they weren't...
I cut off when I realized she was shaking her head.
No, no. That's the thing. I'm...
She took a deep breath and cleared her throat.
Okay, just say it. Lacey, I'm not really into guys. That's why I haven't found the right person yet. I haven't told anyone I'm gay before. Ever.
Jazz is studying me carefully.
Do you think less of me for that?
I stared at her for a split second and then wrapped her up in a big hug, squeezing her even tighter than she'd squeezed me earlier. Then I pulled back and held her by the shoulders.
Oh gosh, Jazzus. No, of course not. You're the one who told me it's 2017 and no one cares anymore. Take your own advice, girl. That's how I want the world to be, but my family actually cares a lot, she said quietly. That's why I haven't told them. I'm sorry, Lacey. Sorry for what? I don't know. I feel silly now, but...
She took a deep breath and smiled at me.
It feels really good to get that off my chest. Thank you. Thanks for having the courage to tell me. You're the best, Jazz. So, this doesn't actually change anything. Fantasy Realms Online is the perfect place to explore your fantasies. Trust me. And your family doesn't even have to know until you're ready to tell them. You mean, you think I should still try sex?
She started fidgeting with her hands again.
I wouldn't even know how to start. I feel so awkward.
Then, I had the best idea I'd had all day. I lowered my eyelids halfway, gave her my best smoldering gaze, and put my face within inches of hers. She didn't shrink away, and I could feel the tension between us.
Why not start with me, Lacey? You said I was the ideal of feminine beauty, and it'd be my first time, too. What do you say, Lacey?
I hadn't thought she could turn any redder, but then she did. Still, she didn't move. Instead, she raised her eyes to mine and smiled. I kissed her, and she kissed me back. It was amazing. Jazzus tasted as good as she smelled, and I marveled at how my body reacted, just like it had when I was with the jailer. I guess Lacey is bisexual. Makes sense for a courtesan, I suppose. If anything, Jazzus was even more into it than I was. After the initial, long, passionate kiss, she attacked me with a frenzy of sloppy, open-mouthed need that only comes from finally getting something you've spent a lifetime suppressing. Both of us seemed to be getting hotter by the second. I pulled her back onto the bed and let my courtesan skills take over, just like I had when going into combat as Kromgorn. And just like Kromgorn's finely honed fighting skills had been guided by the game's programming, Lacey's softer, subtler skills were also guided in expert motions by built-in software. I just relaxed and went along with it, content to pretend that I was a pro lady killer in a lady's body. Judging by Jazz's sighs and soft exclamations of delight, she appreciated my work. My fingers glided under her robes and slid over her silky undergarments, teasing and exciting her. And I could feel her hot breath on my cheek as I lay beside her and worked my magic. When a rose-colored flush had crept across her face and her wiggling had grown frantic, she sat up and pulled her clothes off. I hurriedly helped her undress, feeling my own body react as her breasts bounced free and my hands made contact with the soft downy hair covering her womanhood. I buried my face in her mound, lapping excitedly, letting her sweet juices run over my tongue. And Jazzus moaned and rolled her head against the pillows, knees quivering with each luxurious lick. Her delicate fingers wrapped themselves through my hair as she bucked against my mouth, pushing her sex harder and harder against my tongue as I began to hum.
Oh, gods, what are you doing?
She moaned.
That feels amazing. Oh, oh.
When she started bucking furiously and held my hair so tightly that it hurt, I knew she was close. Her hot breaths were coming in short bursts now, heavy panting like a wild animal, and I was so turned on that I started fingering myself beneath my knees while I licked, rotating my knee to keep my balance and leaning against Jazz's silky thigh. My pleasure nib needed hardly any attention to get going. What was happening with Jazzus was one of the hottest things I'd ever seen, especially since it was her first time. Electric shots of pleasure coursed through me with each slick stroke of the wetness between my legs, and after a moment, a familiar shaking started coursing through my legs. I felt like a swelling dam of sexual energy was building up between my legs.
"Keep going. Keep going. Oh, God, I'm almost there,"
Jazzis cried.
"Oh, Lacey. Oh, Lacey."
As she cried my name the last time, Jazzis arched her back in a frenzied thrust of her pelvis, and her whole body started to shake. The dam between my legs burst, and pleasure exploded through my body, arcing out and shaking me as hard as Jazzis as we came together in an explosion of orgasmic ecstasy. I hovered in a void of bliss, coming over and over with Jazzis, unable to do anything but shake, whimper, and wreathe, until we finally collapsed together onto the bed, cooing softly. Our chests rose and fell with gentle exhalations as we nuzzled one another in the aftermath. Jazz's eyes fluttered open, and she grinned at me with the dopiest expression I'd ever seen. She looked beautiful, with her hair all messy and tangled from sex, and her cheeks flushed with crimson.
"Wow," she murmured. That was amazing. Thanks, Lacey."
I nodded.
"Of course. I'm glad that your first time was with me, Jazzis."
She blushed, her cheeks turning an even deeper shade of red, and dropped her eyes.
"Me too. And Lacey?"
"Yeah?"
"Now this was gay as hell."
She winked at me, and we both started laughing. Chapter 11. Later, when Jazzis had retired to her own bed, and the rest of the guild was snoozing softly, I slipped out of my bed and packed my bag. A change of clothes, a bow and arrow I'd taken from the vault, and a few sets of food and healing potions for the road. I tugged on the supple leather boots to match my ranger costume, and padded softly out of the barracks, making my way to the guild's massive front doors. But rather than opening the monstrosities, I popped through the side door and then stood on the road outside my guild house. I looked back at the place I'd spent so many hours laughing and joking with my friends, gave a weary sigh, and shifted my pack onto my shoulder.
"Where are you going, Goldie?"
I almost leapt out of my boots as Erlix unstealthed beside me, but then I rolled my eyes and fixed him with a withering glare.
"Not that it's any of your business, but I'm of no use to my friends, so I'm going away for a while."
"Going away and doing what?"
I shrugged.
"I don't know yet. Figuring out how to level up, I guess. I got stuck in this stupid girly avatar in the first place to help my friends. But I can't help my friends unless I'm powerful enough to be useful against Vertiman and his cronies."
I turned to stare across the zone to the horizon. The sun was just beginning to peek up over the mountains in the distance, and the mist of the morning still laid low on the fields.
"And I'm not coming back until I can help them."
Erlix finished picking his teeth with his dagger, slipped it into his belt, and shrugged. Then he started marching down the road the way I'd been looking.
"Cool,"
he said.
"Let's go."
"Wait, what? You're not coming with me?"
He snorted.
"Like hell I'm not, Goldie. They'll eat you alive out there without some protection. Besides, I still haven't gotten to show you my amazing halfling penis."
I sighed.
"Okay, fine."
"Okay, what?"
"Whip it out."
"Whip what out?"
"Your dick. I want to see if it's everything you claim it is."
He squinted his eyes at me and put his hands on his hips. A long moment passed, and then he shook his head.
"No. I don't think you want it bad enough."
"No?"
I exclaimed.
"Are you kidding me?"
He turned on his heel and started marching down the road.
"You're not ready. When you're ready to see the cock, then I'll show you the cock. It's gonna blow your mind, Goldie. It's gonna blow your mind."
Hey,
I cried. Those little halfling legs of his moved fast, and he was already cruising down the road towards Lorengard.
"Erlix! Wait up! Erlix!"
"Keep up, Goldie,"
he called over his shoulder.
"We need to make double time to the city if we're going to get you leveled up in time for your guild fight. I have a plan. But first, I need to unload all these magical items I liberated from your guild vault.
What?
I asked. How on earth did he manage to do that? I thought stealing from the guild vault was impossible for non-guildies. I raced to keep up with him, leather soles patting the dust as I chased after the speedy little halfling. I didn't know what he was planning, but the halfling did seem to know the game mechanics in and out, and he already proved he was clever enough to do things that shouldn't be possible.
How did you do that?
I called out.
Erlix? Erlix!
I wondered what his plan to level me up quickly was. If he could really get me leveled up in time for the fight with Vierdemann, though, I wasn't about to turn his help down. I was huffing and puffing by the time I caught him, right at the zone line into North Lorengard Orchards, level 5. As the plains around us slowly shifted into a lightly wooded medieval forest area, I crossed my arms and nudged a halfling with my hips.
Well, what's the plan?
Ow! Watch it, Goldie. Save the humping for the bedroom. That's the plan.
Excuse me?
Just like I said, this game is like any other game. You gotta work the mechanics instead of fighting them. I'm a dirty little halfling thief, right?
I nodded.
The dirtiest.
He smiled.
Aw, Goldie, you noticed. But anyway, so I embrace that, and the game rewards me in all kinds of small ways. In your case, you're a courtesan. That's just a fancy way to say prostitute.
Hey.
Erlich shrugged.
Don't fight it. It's what you are, right? Or what your avatar is, anyway. You want to rake in the levels? You gotta take your streetwalking career semi-pro.
I narrowed my eyes at the little dude.
What are you suggesting exactly?
We're almost to Lorengard, he replied. And the first thing you're doing is going to Curse Inn and renting a room.
Curse Inn?
I was starting to get an inkling of what the dirty little halfling was planning, and I wasn't sure I liked it.
What am I going to do in Curse Inn?
At the rate we were moving, we'd already crossed through the North Lorengard Orchards and had gotten to the city gate of Lorengard proper. The guild had chosen a good location for their guild house. Close enough to an allied city to easily call for help if we were attacked. And it made supply runs to the city easy. Erlix paused outside the city gates and started rummaging around in his pack, then produced the materials to craft a wooden sign and etch some letterings onto it. He shoved the mats into my hand and waved me into the city, past the leering guards, whose eyes were fixated on the leather thong that barely concealed my crotch.
Come see us later, boys,
Erlix said with a wink as we passed. Once we were inside, he turned to me again.
Multi-level marketing schemes, Goldie. They're genius. And they're going to get you level faster than you can blink.
Excuse me? Erlix, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He pointed at the materials for the sign in my hands.
You're going to write some prices on that board for courtesan services. Rock-bottom cheap prices. The cheapest ever. And you're going to put it outside Curse and wait upstairs in your room.
My face paled.
Gross.
How else do you expect to level fast, Goldie? The more NPCs you seduce of varying levels, the faster you shoot up in levels.
I ground my teeth, but he was right. I was in Fantasy Realms Online now. For better or worse, I had to play by their rules.
Fine. But how are we going to get enough people to come in, even with cheap prices? They have to see the sign, and there's a lot of competition.
Erlix beamed at me.
That's where I come in. I'm a genius. You're going to give me half your take to spread the word around town and send customers your way.
I narrowed my eyes at him.
Why?
Because I'm going to give away half my take to everyone I recruit to spread the word for me, up to 10 people. And they're going to do the same. We'll all get rich while you earn profits for us. All you have to do is fuck the customers and write down the names who sent them so we can divvy up the loot later. And don't worry, I'll take care of that for you.
He smiled wider.
Like I said, multi-level marketing. We'll get rich and you'll get tons and tons of levels.
He hooked his thumbs behind his belt and rocked back and forth on his boots, looking super proud of himself. I blinked at him. Then I blinked at him again.
A pyramid scheme? That's your plan?
If you want to be crass about it, sure.
That's genius.
I couldn't believe it. It was the dumbest idea ever, but it was so dumb that it just might work. Not on real players, but on NPCs? NPCs who never heard of such a thing? And all I had to do was go to Curse and then fuck all of Lorengard.
I sure think so. You ready to get started?
I sighed. I couldn't believe I was about to do this. But realistically, I didn't see any other way to help my guild out in time for our big fight with Vierdamin. There was no other way to get me high enough in level as a courtesan. I didn't want to be totally useless. I straightened my back, pushed my chest out, and adjusted my chest straps.
Okay, fine. Let's go.
That's the spirit, Goldie. Let's make some coin.
I did as he asked me and headed straight to Kurth's, where I placed my crafted sign outside the door with appallingly low prices compared to other courtesan services. I was about to drive the market for sex in Lorengard down to bargain basement rates, but hopefully the other NPC girls wouldn't hear about them and drop their rates until I was well into my leveling. When I rented the room, Kurth gave me some side-eye, but then shrugged. Money was money, and I wasn't the first whore to set up shop in his tavern. I left instructions with the doorman to send people my way and trudged up the steps to my room. Once there, I stripped off the leather, leaving me in a simple silk pair of brawn panties. I arranged myself on the bed and waited for the plan to begin. It didn't take long before the first curious patron wandered into my room to check out the super cheap goods, a townsman, level 7.
"Hello there," he said. "I'm here for a blowjob."
I sighed, dropped to my knees, and popped the seduce skill before working his dick like the world-class hooker I was. His eyes rolled back into his head, and he squirted his load all over my tits a few moments later.
Ding!
A shower of golden sparks surrounded us as I hit level 6.
"Thanks,"
he murmured, before slapping some coins on the nightstand and stumbling towards the door. I wiped my lips off and called after him.
"Wait, who sent you?"
"A little halfling rogue," he said over his shoulder. "Erlix. He's telling everyone."
I nodded and marked him down in my inventory notes. Soon, word got around. Erlix's plan was working like a charm, and plenty of customers wanted more than just a blowjob. After the first few, I didn't even bother putting my clothes back on. They were lining up outside the door to take me, one after the other, the next practically stepping into the room even before the one before him had finished. I'd expected they wouldn't want sloppy seconds, but the NPCs he was sending my way didn't seem to care, and it seemed that the real players had better things to be doing. I fucked humans on my back, let the orcs and kobolds take me from behind, and the elves always wanted me to ride on top of them. I had so many screaming orgasms that I was dizzy, and my nipples were sore from being hard for hours at a time.
Ding, 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 ding.
The levels flew by as I took steaming squirts over and over and over again, using seduce on one NPC after another, dazzling them with my sexual prowess and taking their coin before kicking them out the door. And Erlix had been busy. Soon the notches on my list were appearing next to a stack of names that was 30 people long. The halfling's pyramid scheme was actually taking off, because the NPCs he'd recruited weren't savvy enough to see through it like real humans would be. I worked all day and all night, not needing to stop for either sleep or food. And my world became a whirlwind of dicks and orgasms and dings. I stared at my own heaving breasts and the tavern ceiling so much that both images got burned into my brain. And I saw my swollen, off-nuzzled nips in my mind's eye, whether my real eyes were open or closed. I dimly worried what this might do to my psyche later, to literally have so much sex pounded into me, but I was too busy with the cock to focus on that. It went on like this for days, and at the end of each day, Erlix would pop in to count up the money, give me my cut, and go out and distribute the rest among his little pyramid network. Each time, he'd wink at me.
"Looking good, Goldie. Keep it up. Get those levels.
Finally, a week had passed. My guild was headed out to battle Veerdom in the following day, and Erlix and I had closed up shop to regroup. I had managed to reach level 43 in an unheard-of amount of time. I still couldn't quite believe we'd gotten Lacey to nearly the same level as Kromgorn with less than a week of work. Hard work, I had to admit, but not entirely without its pleasures. Erlix sat beside me on the bed, counting his money, while I iced my crotch and flicked through screen after screen of weird sex-related skills I had no idea how to use, because I'd leveled too quickly to learn my class properly.
What are these skills, even?
I wondered.
Kama Sutra? Motorboat? Vajazzle?
Slow down there,
Erlix said, without lifting his eyes from the stack of gold arrayed around him.
You'll figure out the advanced maneuvers eventually. You don't want to try to get fancy for the first time in a high-stakes fight. Stick to charm and seduce. It's the backbone of your class.
If you say so. I'm amazed we got me to level 43, but I'm worried it's still not enough.
It should be enough to let you in the guild fight, right? At least you can seduce a few of their goons now.
Erlix grinned.
Plus, we're rich, Goldie. You fucked a lot of dudes over the last few days. Even at your low rates, that's a fortune to go around.
I nodded. He was right. I'd actually be useful in the guild fight. Erlix's crazy sex-fueled plan had saved the day. He earned his little treasure trove. Now, all I had to do was make my way back to the guild hall, convince Topper to let me fight with them, and... My thoughts trailed off as a blinking message appeared in the lower of my screen. What's this? I expanded it, and my eyes widened as I read the contents. All guildies, we're going today. Someone tipped off Veerdom into what we're planning. No time to lose. Get to the Secret Order Guildhouse for an all-out assault. Topper.
Shit!
I leapt off the bed, dropping the ice pack, and began to hurriedly yank on my leather armor pieces. Erlix jumped, scattering coins, and glared up at me. But his expression changed when he saw how worried I looked.
What is it?
There was a traitor inside the guild. We have to go now. They're attacking Veerdemon today.
Erlix began to sweep the gold into his backpack in big armfuls.
Well, let's go. No time now to distribute these earnings to the Pyramid Network. I'll get back to them later. Hurry, Goldie.
I rolled my eyes, but there was no time to argue. We burst through the door and ran full speed for the Wyvern Master. Chapter 12. By the time Erlix and I touched down on our wyverns in the Plains of Woe, where the Secret Order Guildhouse was located, the battle was in full swing. The landscape of the Dark Legion territories was gray and barren, with twisted black trees reaching up towards a reddish-black sky of churning clouds, and the red spatters surrounding the fallen bodies already littering the ground fit right in with the color palette of the dismal landscape.
Blech, Erlix said. Who would want to have their headquarters here? The edgiest of edgelords?
Shut up and come on,
I muttered, racing towards the battlefield. I readied my bow, even though I didn't really expect to use it much. As we got near, I spotted Topper and Veerdemon waiting through a crowd of nameless NPC mercenaries on both sides, trying to reach one another. Bodies flew left and right as Topper's holy sword of righteous flame flashed again and again, while purplish-black beams vaporized our own side's mercs as Veerdemon swept his level 80 Staff of Matter Manipulation back and forth across the battlefield from his levitating position above the fray. He had his whole posse of evil goons out, too. The dark elf warrior Nambla, the evil fairy sorceress Lefay, and the half-ogre barbarian Wugduz all launched vicious assaults against my guildies as we pressed Topper's offensive plan, trying to break Veerdemon's lines so we could capture the Dark Lich.
I need to help them, I said, clenching my fists tight around my bow.
I loosed a couple of arrows into the fray just to do something, taking out a few level 20 kobold NPCs and tabards of the Secret Order. And I felt weirdly proud of myself, despite it not being much of an achievement.
I don't know, Goldie. Those PCs look pretty mean.
Erlix had his daggers out and flipped the right one over and over in his hand as he studied the battlefield. I'd never seen him look so focused. But he was right. Vierdemann's lieutenants were all high level, at least in their 60s, and I didn't have much of a chance of my charm landing on them.
I have to do something!
I stomped my foot in frustration and sent another arrow streaking towards a lobby kobold, catching him in the throat. He fell with a shrieking gurgle.
It's nice not to be totally useless again, but I didn't spend a week taking all the dick in Lorengard so I could wipe out NPCs at half my level. My guild needs help.
Erlix nodded.
Okay then, stay put. I'm gonna go scout around.
Wait!
I called, but Erlix had already vanished. Damn that rogue. Like hell I'm staying put. I swept my gaze across the battle again, trying to find my friends. Topper was giving as good as he got, but the rest of our guild wasn't doing so well. Tigraine and Sensei were both healing furiously, but the strain on their faces told me they were barely keeping up with the damage from Vierdemann's forces, and Haxor was nowhere to be seen. Although, as an assassin, that wasn't surprising. The other members of our guild were hurting badly. I wondered if Topper had already found and dealt with our traitor, or if he was still out here on the battlefield somewhere, waiting to betray us again. The thought made me sick. Then, I saw something worse. Jazzus, pinned down and writhing on the ground under the effects of some dark magic. The battle had moved past her, but she was convulsing and appeared to be unable to move. I scrambled down the hill I'd been standing on, climbing over the fallen bodies of kobold and humans alike, and raced over to her.
Jazzus!
I cried, dropping to my knees beside her and grabbing her by the shoulders. Dark energy coursed all around her, shaking her body, and her eyes were shut tight. Her teeth clenched in a grimace of pain.
Say something. Can you move?
Her eyes fluttered open and attempted to fix on mine, though it looked like she couldn't focus. She tried to say something through her clenched teeth, but she was shaking too hard. Then she glanced down towards her pack and tried to speak again, fighting through the pain.
Hang on!
I dove for the fallen pack and dug through it until I found a dispel scroll. I stood up, read the words on the scroll, and breathed a sigh of relief as the dark magic melted away from her body. Thank goodness Jazzus had the sense to pay extra for a level 1 scroll anyone can use. Jazzus gasped, sitting up straight.
Gods, Lacey, thank you. Those disabling spells are so much worse when you can't just log out and wait for them to pass. What's going on?
She staggered to her feet, leaning heavily on her battle staff.
You saw the message. Someone tipped the bad guys off. We don't know who yet, but when I find out...
Jazzus growled and grasped her staff tightly, causing a swirl of flame to spin around the head. Then she released it and shook her shoulders.
Anyway, we're losing. Vierdemann had time to get ready for us, and their average level is higher. We're doing our best. They're only going to get stronger as long as a curse holds in the game.
Jazzus seemed to notice my level for the first time and did a double take.
Whoa, Lacey. 43? You're higher level than I am. How did you do it so fast?
I blushed.
Long story. I'll tell you later. Right now, Topper needs us.
She nodded.
Right. Let's go.
Jazzus raised her staff and rushed back into the fray with a blood-curdling yell, hurling fireballs left and right. After a moment's hesitation, I followed her, firing arrows with abandon at everything that moved. By myself, as a courtesan, my combat skills wouldn't have been good enough to hold my own for very long at all. But it was much easier when I was following in the wake of a hardened battle mage like Jazz. I was really sucky DPS backup, but I was just mopping up after everything she burned. We slew hordes of NPCs as we worked our way to the center of the field, where Topper and Vierdemann were nearing one another. I chewed my lip as I let another few arrows fly.
Are we really going to attack Vierdemann?
I shouted.
Topper's going to need all the help he can get,
Jazzus called over her shoulder.
He can't fight him alone. We're better than nothing.
I nodded, hardening my pretty face into a mask of grim determination. Jazzus was right. With a final burning slice, Topper put down the orc nearest him and stepped into a momentary clearing in the battle, long enough for Jazzus and me to reach him. We fanned out on either side of him waiting, breathing hard. Topper gave me an incredulous, sidelong stare. Crom? How did you gain 40 levels in just a few days?
It's Lacey now, and no time to explain. Here comes Vierdemann.
I pointed to the dark leech lord, who floated less than 30 feet away from us now, holding his black staff up menacingly and cackling with glee.
Get behind me, growled Topper, raising his fiery sword in front of his face.
As Crom, I would have argued, but as Lacey, I meekly did as he requested. Jazza slid into place behind me, and we both lifted our weapons towards Vierdemann.
Cute little force you've assembled here, Topper, Vierdemann said, his voice dripping with malice. It's a shame my mole tipped us off. It was a stupid plan anyway. How could you hope to contain me? My staff has the power to destroy anything. Yeah, well, we'll see how it does against my sword, Topper replied. And when I find your mole, I'm going to make them wish they'd never been born.
Vierdemann rolled his eyes.
So dramatic.
Why don't you just release us? Jazzus demanded. You did your little spell and you sealed yourself in the game. Nice work. But you didn't have to trap us, too.
What would the fun of that be?
Vierdemann turned and made a dismissive gesture, vaporizing one of our mercs that had been sneaking up behind him.
NPCs are a bore. I need other people to rule over and play with if my game world is going to be entertaining for me.
You're a sick fuck, I said. Some of us have families that need us in the real world.
Vierdemann shrugged.
Maybe you should have spent less time playing games then. Who are you anyway?
Then a spark of recognition lit his eyes.
Oh, the barbarian trapped in the whore. I heard about you.
He broke into a long, gleeful laugh.
How's life on the feminine side, sweet tits? Get used to it. Maybe I'll make you my personal concubine just for fun, once I crush your friends here.
Over my dead body.
Topper crouched lower, preparing to spring into action.
That's the idea, Vierdemann said. And I won't even have to get my hands dirty.
What?
Topper's eyes widened as Haxor materialized behind him, unstealthing and driving both his daggers deep into Topper's back. Topper fell to his knees, severely weakened by Haxor's paralyzing poisons, then crumpled into a ball.
Haxor,
Jazzus cried, stumbling back a few steps.
You're the mole? How could you?
Haxor shrugged.
Vierdemann told me he'd let me out if I betrayed you all. Sorry. It's just a game, and I miss my girlfriend.
Jazzus tried to unleash a spell on him, but Haxor had a counterspell ready, and he slammed an anti-magic shield onto her before she could react. Then, he grabbed her wrists and bound her with a rope while she fought. Vierdemann chortled above us, and Topper quivered on the ground.
Fucking spellblade.
Jazzus struggled hard, but she was no match physically for the much higher-level character.
Hey!
I cried. Everyone had just been ignoring me, and I was sick of it.
Try this on for size.
I took aim at Haxor's throat and unleashed a volley of arrows.
Blink, blink, blink.
They barely scratched his HP, and Haxor smirked at me.
Really? A courtesan with a bow, 25 levels lower than me? That's cute, Crom. Why don't you wander off and fuck a few more dudes while we finish mopping up the guild?
I blinked at him, feeling a sense of helplessness wash over me. I could barely hurt him. Vierdemann floated down and touched him on the shoulder. I watched in horror as his guild tag flipped over from Shining Army to Secret Order.
Haxor?
I asked helplessly.
Really? You're going to betray us like this?
We never had a chance against the Lich, and we all knew it, he replied. He's too powerful. There's no defense against that staff.
Your friend is wise, Vierdemann said. Unlike that joke of a paladin writhing on the ground.
He jerked his thumb at Topper.
No, The shining armor is done for. This game, this world, is mine now. And there's nothing any of you can do to stop me.
I glanced around at the battlefield once again. Tigraine and Sensei had fallen to the ground, and Vierdeman's lieutenants had either killed or disabled all my guildies with hold person spells. Topper was still incapacitated, with Haxor's boot resting on his chest. Jazzis was bound and helpless, on her knees at Haxor's feet. My shoulders fell. It was over then. My leveling and my attempt to help my guild had been too little, too late. A scream of rage ripped through the air, and Erlix materialized on Haxor's back, unstealthing just in time to drag a poison dagger across Haxor's throat. It only took half his HP away, but he failed the poison save and fell to the ground, disabled by the same paralyzing concoction affecting Topper. Erlix spit on Haxor and turned towards Vierdeman, daggers raised.
"Erlix," I cried, "you got him."
"Never discount the halfling," Erlix replied with a wink. "Now let's make short."
Erlix made a strangled herk sound as a black beam of energy lanced out from Vierdeman's staff and wrapped around his throat and limbs, knocking him to the ground and scattering his daggers. He grasped at the dark tendril tightening around his throat, slowly leeching his HP away, but he couldn't seem to free himself.
"You don't seem to understand," Vierdeman said. "This is my playground. There's no trick you can pull, no last-minute gimmick you can use. You can't beat me within the rules of the game, and the rules of the game are all there are for us now."
"Goldie,"
Erlix struggled to get the words out from a constricted throat.
"Goldie, use the game mechanics. Go with your class strengths."
He was crazy. I was only level 43. Vierdeman was level 80. And there was nothing in a million years that I could do that he wouldn't resist. Vierdeman knew it, too. He gestured towards me, and I felt myself lift off the ground and float toward him as if carried by a giant, invisible hand that grabbed my body, molesting me in all my intimate places as I drew close to him. I struggled against the hand in my tight leather, feeling truly uncomfortable for the first time as a lich leered at my body. I hated to think what he might be able to make me do with his dark magic. I frantically popped my menus and looked for something, anything, some forgotten skill I could try, just so he wouldn't take me without a fight. And then, I saw something. It was a long shot, but it was my only chance. I grabbed a potion out of my bag and downed the contents in a single gulp. Vierdeman's eyes widened as a tag above my head bumped from level 43 human courtesan to level 83 human courtesan. I looked Vierdeman square in the face, suspended in air across from him, and smiled.
"Charm,"
I said. Chapter 13. Vierdeman failed his save, and I dropped to the ground. I looked at my hands in surprise. I can't believe it. It actually worked. And now Vierdeman is charmed until I release him, and no one in his guild can hurt me.
"Yeah, Goldie,"
Erlix cried.
"Go get him."
"What is this madness? How could you possibly charm me?" demanded Vierdeman.
I grinned.
"Potion of temporary level boost."
My level flickered, and I felt myself drop back down to my old level, the spell's magic already exhausted. But it had done what I needed it to.
"And now you're charmed until I say otherwise."
Vierdeman howled with rage and unleashed a black beam from his staff on me, but the magic passed harmlessly through me. He shot me again and again to no effect. Then his lieutenants, who had been standing on the sidelines, rushed in and tried to carve me up with their swords, but I laughed as the blades passed harmlessly through me.
"Sorry, guys,"
I said.
"Charm prevents hostile actions from the target and his whole guild. You can't even tie me up as long as I keep Vierdeman charmed. Now."
I raised my little bow and pointed it at Vierdeman, loosing a volley of arrows at him.
Plink, plink, plink.
I watched his HP drop from 100% to 97%. I smiled.
"Not much, but I have all the time I need. Say, don't the server rules allow for full corpse looting? That's a nice staff you have there, V.
Beardeman's mouth dropped open, and something that looked like fear sparked in his eyes. He began to stammer.
Why, you fucking punk! I will destroy you! You and everyone you care about!
I kept releasing arrows while he talked. Plink, 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 plink. His HP was down to 85% now.
Great, Vierdemann. Just stand still. Beating the Lich is easier than I expected.
Fuck you, Vierdemann muttered. I will find a way around this.
Not today, I cried.
Plink, plink.
Retreat,
Vierdemann shouted. He cast a prepared ritual, evacuation, and a blindingly bright flash lit up the battlefield. When the light faded, his whole force had disappeared, including Haxor. With the Darkcasters gone, the magic holding our forces in place faded. Erlix dusted himself off and cut Jazz's free, and Haxor's poison finally wore off of Topper.
I can't believe that worked, Topper muttered. Nice work.
Lacey, you saved us, cried Jazzis.
She rushed over to sweep me up in a big hug, and my heart swelled with pride.
I can't quite believe it worked either, I said. But it did.
Make sure you don't release that charm spell,
Erlix warned.
Not a chance. I'm not done with Vierdemann yet. None of us are. And now we have a secret weapon.
I stared at my hands, then ran them over my body. My pert breasts, my sexy legs, my ample hips.
Who knew that Lacey the courtesan could end up being our most powerful tool in this fight? Do I still get credit for this?
Jazz asked with a smile.
The fact that we have her here is still technically my fault.
I smiled back.
Look, just because I started to have fun as a girl doesn't mean you're off the hook for getting me trapped in this body. You still owe me, okay?
She stepped a little closer, keeping her arms looped around my neck.
How will I ever make it up to you, Lacey? I'll have to figure something out.
Topper looked at Erlix in confusion.
What's up with those two?
Erlix started picking his teeth with his dagger.
Now that the fight's over, they're probably thinking about giant halfling cocks. It always gets the ladies going.
Have you seen it yet?
Jazz asked me. I shook my head.
He wouldn't show me. I called his bluff. He must be ashamed of it.
Erlix sighed.
Well, I still don't think you want it badly enough, but I suppose you all fought hard today. You earned a treat.
He unlaced his breeches and dropped his pants. A huge penis, as thick as a wrist, snaked between his legs, coming down almost to his knee. Everyone's mouths dropped open. Erlix waggled it proudly.
Told ya.
That image is going to be burned into my mind for quite some time,
Jazzis murmured. Erlix laced back up, whistling to himself, and then happily started looting the corpses. Topper shook his head.
I need some serious eye bleach. Let's talk about something else. It's great that Lacey has Vierdemann charmed, but now we need a plan. He's smart. It won't take him long to figure out how to keep you permanently away from him or something. Your skill is useful, but we still have to trap him and get him to release us.
How are we going to do that?
I asked. I could see that Topper had a point. It was great that I was protected from Vierdemann and his gang, but by itself, it wasn't going to be enough to stop them.
The leveling trick was good, Topper said, scratching his chin. But what would be great is if you could actually use your skills against this whole team without a potion to help. Right now, you have to plink them to death. But what if you were level 80?
I didn't like where this was heading, but Jazzis was nodding along.
We need to get you up to Vierdemann's level. It's the only way. Then you can lead the assault.
Hmm. But she's already pulled out all of her stops to hit level 43. How do we get her to max level before the Secret Order can find a way to stop us?
Topper tapped his nose thoughtfully.
You guys, I don't know about this,
I said. But then Erlix piped up, clearing his throat.
About that, he said. I might have a few ideas. Let's start by getting materials for a sign.
A sign?
Jazzus asked. I put my face in my hands and moaned.